Fewer kids are going to college because they say it costs too much. I have a solution for that, actually, which I'll share a little bit later in the show. I'm Byron Lazine, One Ant Company, William Ravis Real Estate, along with Pat Kenny, Barnum Plans. This is Real Estate Radio. We do the show every Saturday live at 11 here on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Of course, you can always get the podcast at CT Real Estate Radio, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you want to catch up on any of our old shows. If you're familiar with some of our past shows, you know Pat and I are both not against college for the kids. We love education. In fact, we both invest heavily in our own ongoing education every single year, and we believe education is the foundation of growth, but the current college system may not be working for everybody and certainly may not be working for our economy and our local economy with the cost burden that it puts on kids.
It's just another example of the COVID evolution, right? We've talked about this very early on. I mean, you know, the way that we do the show now and all of these kind of things, obviously it's been a year. It's been 12 months, you know, and some change here, depending on, you know, what state you're in listening to when you first got locked down. But I remember you and I were talking a year ago. I mean, I was still down in Florida at the time. I was just coming back in 2 days. I was, you know, it was 367 days ago that I was sitting down here in Florida waiting to see if I could even get back into Connecticut at that point, because we shut down so fast and, you know, remote schooling for a couple of weeks. And, you know, obviously you have a young daughter, the same thing. Everybody's been affected, but I think education has taken a huge hit. You know, we both know a lot of teachers and educators, right, that are people that are involved, administrators. That's been a huge transition and change. And there's both sides of the argument, I think, are fair. But looking at something, you know, we talked about this, I think, even partway through last year in the COVID, in the pandemic, we talked about the astronomical costs of college when the experience is no longer what college was a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. And, you know, I think it's just not a victim of, but it's I think it's really cool. I think it's very interesting to see that, you know, kids are changing their mindset on a lot of this stuff. As we do on the show always, we like to take credit for all of these kind of changes, right? So, and, you know, things like legal sports gambling and marijuana legalization actually eventually happen. That's going to be because of us.
That'll be kids, definitely because of this show.
Yeah, and kids, you know, kids recognizing that maybe there's another alternative to going to college and still having a very happy, successful life. I think we deserve some credit for that. We've talked about that, I think, more than once. I feel okay.
Well, with the college racket, and I appreciate that you've got the books behind you and your background. You can go check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ One and Company Real Estate, if you want the behind the scenes, what happens behind the breaks, or if you just want to stream this show and check out Pat's cool. He looks like he's sitting in a library right now. Very topical, PK. I love it.
A little too loud for a library, but it's okay.
But here's the take. Here's my take before we get into this NBC Connecticut article. My take on the college racket is, if you have to go into debt, and before the pandemic, I used to have the opportunity, the fortunate opportunity to go speak to a number of our local high schools in New London County, New Haven County, our local Connecticut high schools, and speak to kids that are thinking about either getting into business or, you know, juniors and seniors typically is what I would be invited to speak to. And I would tell all the kids, the first thing I would say, Pat, is I'd say, raise your hand if you are planning to go to college. You know, if it's seniors, I'd say next year or you know, when you graduate. And essentially, everybody's hands would go up for the most part. So like everybody's at that point planning. Now, when you get to the end of your senior year, things change and you actually get to that summer of love, as I call it, after you graduate high school, you know, things can change. But when they're in school, because they're being fed a line of, hey, you got to go to college, you got to get your degree, everybody's hand goes up. Now I say, everybody that is getting your college paid for 100%, either by a scholarship opportunity or by your parents, I'd like you to put your hand down, right? And for those of you that have your hand down, you should go to college. If somebody's paying for your college, you 100% should take that opportunity. Now, everybody that has your hands up, how many of you are going to be able to pay for it out of your own pocket? And nobody, put your hand down if you can pay for it out of your own pocket. Nobody's hand goes down, right? They're all planning on taking out college debt. And I say very clearly to them, if you're planning on taking out college debt, do not do it, especially if you're going for like a BA degree, like a business administrative degree or something very non-specific, right? Or general studies or anything like that. Do not go into debt. Now, my advice would be to find a guy like myself that is totally open to paying for community college for you if you're going to barter and do some free work during the day or, you know, during the afternoon, you know, whatever the, you know, school schedule is. And a lot of these schools now, Pat, they're going to be online schooling, like colleges, community college. You're going to have online opportunities basically now forever and always. You did before the pandemic and you will for sure after. So you can hack, you know, your first 2 years of college pretty easily by using community schools and doing it online and still having a whole bunch of time to actually work and barter with a business person in your local community that's willing to trade you skills for the workplace to pay for your community college, or just go get a JOB and pay for the community college yourself. But if you tell me you're going to debt because, no, I have to go to UConn or I have to go to Eastern or Southern because my friends are going there, that tells me you're very much immature. You're going to go and you're immature because you're going to drink keg beer, which, by the way, you can go to those parties on your own. I mean, I used to go to UConn parties when I was a sophomore in high school. So you don't have to be going to the school to go to the parties.
Nobody right? at XLOT checks your student ID. You doesn't happen.
You got that right. I wonder that if they're still partying on XLOT.
I mean, probably pre-COVID, maybe. I would have to assume like lacrosse house parties have probably changed since you and I were invited or not invited.
Yeah, there was no social distancing at those lacrosse parties off of the X lot at UConn. Shout out to everyone that's partied at X lot. And no shout out to the people who have flipped cars on X lot. I've seen that happen before.
No. Yep.
I don't think they're doing a spring. What was that? In the spring, they used to just fill up that whole parking lot with thousands of kids.
Oh, my God. They didn't.
That's not happening anymore.
No, I doubt.
But if you're going into debt because you have to have the experience of the dorm and all this other stuff, you're going to set yourself behind. You're going to have regrets about your college debt if you're not going for a very specific degree and you absolutely know what you want to do after school. So I encourage, if you're a parent listening right now and you have a kid who's gearing up for college, I encourage you to have this conversation with them. And there's a reason why, and we'll get into this article here when we come back, there is a reason why fewer kids are opting to go to college. A growing number of would-be undergraduates are opting out of college altogether, and the pandemic has accelerated the problem of affordability. We're going to get into all the reasons why when we come back and what these kids should be doing about it in this current economy. When we come back, Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic.
If you have a child thinking about college in the next few years, are you encouraging them to go? Are you paying for it? Are you encouraging them to go and get into debt to be able to afford it? Or are they on a scholarship? Love to hear from you if you're in that situation. 860-464-9490. Byron Lazine, One & Company, William Ravis Real Estate, along with Pat Kenny, Byron & Plans. This is Real Estate Radio. You might be wondering, why the heck are we talking about this on Real Estate Radio? Well, I'll tell you why. Right now, the largest buyer generation of real estate in this country is millennials. They're out of college, of course. Well, the next coming generation that'll be buying homes is right after these millennials. Actually, I take that back. There are still some millennials going for more schooling, like thinking that that's the answer to their career problems. This economy is going to depend, right, with the amount of money we're printing, with the, the situation we're trying to climb out of. This economy is going to depend on people's ability to get some work, to get jobs, and being able to go out and buy stuff with those jobs. If you're straddled with college debt, then the home ownership rate is going to continue to sit below 65%. We'd like to get up to like 70% in this country. The highest we've been in the last 15 years, I believe, was, you know, back in the mortgage crisis, it was 69 or 70%, Pat. Mm. One of the reasons we don't get anywhere close to that is because there are still a ton of millennials who are not able to buy a home because of their college debt. And every millennial right now wants to buy a home after living through the last 12 months. The vast majority. Every is obviously way overstated, but the vast majority want to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely accelerated that need or that desire, right? I mean, that was a big thing that wasn't, I think even we talked about this in, I want to say like 19, I got to find a little recall here, where we've talked about that transition of the desire for renting versus the desire to own. Yeah, that's a whole mindset change that's been happening recently. That wasn't necessarily the case prior, where a lot of people were totally fine and just were used to having just a rent payment. They liked the idea of the freedom and blah, blah, and all that kind of stuff. But when you look at things, I just pulled it up really, really quick. Average student loan debt sits north of $32,000 per person. There's an extra 32 grand just hovering over your head. And obviously that's a very generic number. The average doctor holds almost $241,000 in medical school debt.
Wow.
That's a house. They owe a mortgage for their education, which of course they need.
When you go to college and you know for sure, hey, I'm 18, I'm going to be a doctor. You know, I want to be a doctor. It's been my life dream. It's my only mission. Well, then you got to go to college to be a doctor. You got to go to college to be an attorney. I don't know that I'd advise that career path right now, but you've got to do it. If that's what your dream is, to be an attorney, you've got to go to, you know, if you are going to be an attorney, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I want to go to college to be an attorney, or maybe you got a kid thinking about that, encourage them to get into personal injury. Don't do real estate attorneys. Those guys are getting squeezed pretty hardcore. Do the personal injury attorney. I wish I was a personal injury attorney. These guys have the biggest racket going today. These personal injury attorneys.
Is the West Coast like the East Coast of Florida? Because every 17 feet on any major highway, it's a personal injury attorney billboard. I'm not exaggerating in the slightest. Other billboard.
There's no billboards over here in Naples, Florida, Pat.
It's absurd.
Yeah, yeah. We don't play like that.
How do you get information? How do your personal injury attorneys get there? They just run around actually chasing ambulances? That's ridiculous.
No, radio, digital ads. But yeah, there's really like no billboards in Naples. But listen, the personal injury attorneys, your ability to market through digital and some of the things that are relevant right now, that's a really good field. You can make a lot of money. You can really rip some people off. I know a personal injury attorney right now in Connecticut who's a total scam artist, but he's making a lot of money. You know, he actually, Pat, let these couple of scammers file a lawsuit because they, you know, tripped and fell at an open house. Totally pathetic situation. Total staged fall, by the way. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that on the radio, but
we didn't really talk about it. It's a situation. It's an example of something that could happen that you could deal with in the world of real estate. That's relevant. It's fair.
It's something that you could potentially deal with. That's just a potential situation out there that I've heard about in the past. Yeah. But anyways, you can make a lot of money that if you've got a specific job that you're going after that requires a college degree. If you want to be a teacher, you got to get a degree. I mean, that teaching thing is that's a total racket too. Like any move up, oh, now you got to have a master's in this or a master's in that, or you got to be carrying three masters every time you want to like move up the education ladder.
Yeah, one step up costs you another 60 grand.
It's totally crazy.
I think what's crazy, like the thing that's impressive too is, and you know, back to the article just for like 1 second here, just because it has, there's so many like just numerical stats in here, which, you know, obviously will be kind of good for us to be able to give away a little Martin's money, which we'll do here at some point. And maybe this section, maybe this segment, maybe the last segment, but just the last 8 months, the likelihood of high school students that are going to be attending a 4-year college dropped to 53% from 71% in 8 months. That's a huge step down of kids that are looking at going to higher education. The thing that I'm very curious about is, and it doesn't really talk a lot about it in this article, is what's the alternative game plan? Have they thought about where they're going to go? What are they going to do? Are they going to keep doing what they're doing now? Right? I mean, they're going to be a barista the rest of their life, or, you know, I have no idea. Like, I don't really know what the plan is here. I'm not sure that you can ask the average 17 and 8-year-old to tell you that what that's going to be either. Right? I mean, how often are they going to know? But the rising costs are just obscene. I mean, the graph that's in here is ridiculous.
Yeah, the cost continues to go up. And by the way, like, some of these universities are sitting on billions and billions of dollars, right? Talk about Yale or Harvard. They are just sitting on tons of cash. Yet for college-bound students and their parents, a whopping 98% of families said financial aid would be necessary to pay for college, and 82% said it was extremely or very necessary, the Princeton Review found. Majority of high school students also said they are now applying to colleges with lower sticker prices to be able to afford this. Another third said they were applying to colleges closer to home. So that's a good trend, thinking of saving some money. The Princeton Review pulled more than 14,000 people. Roughly 80% were college applicants and 20% were parents of these applicants. If you are a parent pushing your kid to go into college debt, again, I urge you to not do that. It will set them up for failure in their first 10, 15 years out of college. Potential depression as well. Not a lot of people talk about that. You get out of college, you thought that was the answer. Somebody pushed you into making that decision, whether it's a guidance counselor or a parent, you know, or a grandparent, whatever. And you get out of college, you can't get a job that in any, like, you know, year coming, like in any quick sense, can you pay off your college debt? It's going to take you multiple years, if not decades, to pay off this debt. And you can't get a job, you know, paying you a salary anywhere close to what you thought. Now, you know, you can't buy a house. You can barely buy a car, right? You can barely, if you're getting an apartment, you can barely make ends meet living month to month, paycheck to paycheck. So college debt continues to get pushed off. Well, what does that do to your psyche when you see other people that didn't go to college making moves, maybe starting businesses? They're not straddled with all this debt. They have the ability and the freedom to be able to operate without it. A lot of those kids are going into depression.
Yeah,
those kids are really struggling with that.
Yeah, to your point, I'm just looking up now. I just looked up. It's on Indeed. Indeed cites that the National Association of Colleges and Employers, the general average salary for a college grad, obviously there's outliers, is about $50,000 a year. You live in a state like Connecticut at 24 years old on $50,000 a year pre-tax, you're going to have a really, really rough go of it. To your point, at 24 years old, 25 years old, 26 years old, you're certainly not going to go buy something for $200,000, $225,000. Not that there's anything to buy at this point, you know, the inventory being what it is.
Not much real estate at $200,000 available to buy. Well, there'll be 50 showings and 10 offers on any $200,000 yeah. piece of real estate.
Cash over asking. So, but, you know, like that's – and then and on top of that, now we just talked about, so you're going to make $50,000. Your average loan, your average student debt is almost $33,000. You're not getting deferral on that because now you're out of college. Now you're out of, you know, you're getting deferrals during COVID, but now you're going to be expected. That's going to be on the bill, plus your cost of living, plus food. You know, in most of Connecticut, you're going to have a car. All of these things just keep piling up, and you wonder how these kids are going to make this.
For 15 years, Connecticut homeowners wondered why their real estate prices were going nowhere, right? It took us 100-year pandemic And it took all the way till 2020, the end of 2020, for Connecticut single-family homeowners to get all their value back from 2007. We are now, by the way, past home values from 2007 from the peak. So if you're thinking about selling, I believe we're at the tip of the iceberg right now. But one of the drivers, because of the, you know, that this is all happening at once, the obvious answer was the pandemic. But the other part of it, you know, and the other obvious answer is New Yorkers coming out to Connecticut. But the third part of that, Pat, is the average age of millennials now are 33. So some of them have finally, after all these years, gotten their own head above water. If they weren't straddled with this college debt, I guarantee you Connecticut's real estate market would have come back a lot sooner at the median and below median price points. It took 15 years. It didn't have to take that long. It didn't have to take a 100-year pandemic if some of these kids that have wanted to buy homes for a long time could have actually afforded to do so. All right, we come back. We're going to give away a little bit of Martin's money. We've got a whole bunch of Martin's money, courtesy of Service Station Equipment. We're going to do the One and Company Rewind, all that when we come back. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk, Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, Pat Kenny, Barnum Plans, 860-464-9490. Love to hear from you if any of these three apply. You have a child, or maybe you yourself, going into college and planning on taking out debt. Love to hear the reasons why you would encourage debt going to college. Per NBC Connecticut, less and less students are deciding to take that track, finally, and screaming not to go into debt for years now. Number two, if you have any real estate to promote, we're about to get into the One and Company Rewind of the Week. If you have an open house or, you know, a new listing that you want to promote, whether you're an agent, a for sale by owner, or just got some real estate you're thinking about putting on the market, you want to promote some real estate, 860-464-9490 is the number. Or if you want some Martin's money, we've got a whole bunch of gift cards to our great local Connecticut restaurants, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. And we're going to give those gift cards to you if you can answer Pat's question. Pat, what's the question?
Question is, we talked earlier, the average student loan debt in the country is about $32,000. Connecticut's is not the average of $32,000. Let's go easy first. We'll do 50-50.
Yeah, easy one. Easy one.
Go easy for it. Is Connecticut average student loan debt higher or lower than the national average? 50-50 shot. Give you an easy one to start.
It's a coin flip, folks. 860-464-9490. Connecticut average student loan debt. Is it higher or lower than the national average? You get that right, higher or lower, you're getting a gift card to one of our great local Connecticut restaurants, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. And before we take those calls, so you can go ahead and line those calls up, 860-464-9490, we have our One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate Rewind of the Week. Let's get right into it, Pat. And this is shared directly onto the Facebook. You can always watch this show, facebook.com/ One and Company Real Estate. One and Company is all spelled out, by the way, O-N-E-A-N-D, Company. I don't have to spell that out, .com. All right. This past week, Pat, from March 11 to March 17, One and Company, we had two new listings, 13 properties go under contract, and 6 closings. The under contracts are hot and heavy in this market. I mean, there are so many homes that are getting 50-plus showings and 10 offers in the first couple days on the market. If you're thinking about putting your home on the market and getting over asking price, text me immediately, 860-941-2755, 860-941-2755, so I can show you exactly how to position your home to not only get multiple offers, but to get over asking price. All right, the two listings that we had this week was 35 Cedar Street in Clinton for $315,000. That, of course, is already under contract. We also listed 41 Bushy Hill Road in Ivoryton. It's a land listing at $439,000, multiple acres. We had some late listings during the week as well. 517 Orchard Road in Berlin went back on at $599,000 after getting a whole entire update on the interior. 4-bed, 3-bath, 3,100 plus square feet on 2 acres. Also listed was a new home package in North Branford for $599,000, $499 Totocket Road in North Branford, 4-bed, 3-bath, 2,800 square feet. Could be yours, brand new, for under $600,000. 45 Jefferson Road, Branford, on for $95,000, 1-bed, 1-bath, 680. If you don't want to pay rent anymore, 45 Jefferson Road in Branford, it could be yours. 61 Flax Mill Road in Branford, 1-acre lot for $100,000. 629 New Haven Avenue in Milford on for $368,000. We also listed 552 Hartford Pike in Killington. These are all like after our report on Wednesday on
the blog. So this is the last 2 days.
Yeah.
This is Thursday and Friday. Holy cow.
$250,000 multifamily in Killingley, 552 Hartford Pike in Killingley. Lee Bar listing already under contract. 27 Golick Ave in Shelton for $199,000. That's a screaming deal. 2-bed, 1-bath for under $200,000. And then 7 Long Hill Road, Farm Road in Guilford for $349,900. That is already under contract. Okay, back to the actual rewind. Our 13 properties under contract were in Old Saybrook, New Haven, East Haddam, Norwich, Branford, Waterbury, Guilford, East Hampton, Guilford, Groton, Clinton, Cheshire, and East Lyme. And then our 6 closings for the week were in New London, West Hartford, Colchester, Shelton, Ellington, and North Haven. That is the One and Company rewind for the week. We have open houses this week. In today, up until 1 o'clock, you can go over to 42 Wakefield Road in Branford. Meredith Zipper will be showing that. That is 42 Wakefield Road all the way till 1 o'clock today. Till 2 o'clock today, you can go over to 917 Orchard Road in Berlin. Lee Barr is going to be there. That is that 4-bedroom, 3-bath, over 3,000 square foot home in Berlin. On for $599,000. That's all the way from 12 to 2 o'clock. 917 Orchard Road in Berlin. Tomorrow, Sunday, from 11 to 1, we have Orchard Road again. So if you miss it today, go to 917 Orchard Road and see Nadia in Berlin. And tomorrow, 11 to 1 as well, we have 629 New Haven Ave in Milford. 629 New Haven Ave in Milford. That's a brand new listing. Meredith will be there tomorrow from 11 to 1. That one will not last. I can promise you next week that'll be on the under contract list. And also tomorrow, 12 to 2, 66 High Street Residences in downtown Guilford. Horton Group Development, 100% record-breaking development. That we've broken every single New Haven County price per square foot and highest sale price record in this community. Luxury condos, 3 left in the Elite Building. Walk to downtown, walk to the green, walk to the restaurants, walk to your martini, walk to the train, walk to the beach. Downtown Guilford, 66 High Street, tomorrow, 12 to 2. That is your One and Company at William Ravis Real Estate. Rewind and open houses of the weekend. Of course, if you've got any real estate to promote, feel free to call in 860-464-9490. We're also giving away some of Martin's money, gift cards to our local Connecticut restaurants. If you can answer the question, what, or no, we're going easy, right, Pat? What
was simple. It? So average, as you know, we have Linda, we have two mystics already on the line for us, which is nice. Average student loan debt in the country is $32,731. Is Connecticut's average college debt higher or lower?
Okay.
Let's see what Linda has to say.
Linda from Mystic, what do you think? Higher or lower? Connecticut's average student loan debt, higher or lower than the national average, Linda?
I think it's higher.
You think it's higher? Now, is that a final answer?
Yes.
Why do you think it's higher?
I don't know. I just do.
You had a lot of conviction. I like the conviction with the answer. why not so convicted? That's okay, though. It's okay. The good news is, Linda.
I could be wrong.
The good news is you're not. You're right. That is fantastic. Great job. I think Crystal Ball is going to hook her up with all the information that we need.
Yes, Chris, get Linda hooked up.
Thank you. You're going
to Olio's in Groton.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Now, we've got Jane from Mystic. We've got another question for Jane, so she can still win, right?
We do. We have a backup question. Jane, you still there? Perfect. All right.
Linda got the first question right. The national average for Connecticut student loan debt is indeed higher than the national average. So the Connecticut average, rather, is higher than the national average. So Pat's got another question for you so you can have a chance to win some of Martin's money as well.
So national average is $32,731, call it $33,000 for round numbers. In increments of 1,000, where do you think Connecticut average student loan debt is? So $33,000 is the national average. We know we're north of that. Where do you think Connecticut's average is?
That's much harder than the first question that I got.
It is a little harder. Are we gonna give her 38, any hints?
38.
And you know what the best part is? You got the harder question on the nose. It's $38,650.
Wow. No.
Nailed
way.
It. Yes.
You nailed it, Jane.
Can I tell you why I picked higher?
Please.
No, please do.
The mentality of society in Connecticut and the amount of people that go to work every day, it's easy.
It was an easy one for me.
People don't want to work in Connecticut.
You know the culture. Well, I think there are some people that want to work, so, but,
no,
but
I
guess.
Mean, so many people don't want to. So, you know, well, I know, of course, I work and a lot of other people work, but it's just the mentality of the workforce. A lot of people do not want to work.
And Jane, do you have kids that have gone to college? Have you gone to college? Anybody in your family taking out debt right now to go to college?
No, nobody owes debt, thank God.
There you go, Jane.
You know what? Yes, sir, my son-in-law.
Uh-oh.
Yep, and he's been paying.
Yeah, but he's only family by contract. He doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. You could get rid of him, Jane.
No. He's a good boy. He's paid. He's never missed a payment. He's been paying. He's worked hard, and he's just paying off his debt.
Good for him.
Yep.
Keep working hard.
He's almost
hard.
At the end. He's got 1 year yet.
Oh, good. Yeah, tell him to clear that up. Jane, you ever been to Olio's in Groton?
Yes, I have.
Well, you're going back. It's a fabulous restaurant. You're going back courtesy of Martin McKinney and Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. Jane, stay on the line. Chris will get you hooked up with your gift card to Olio's. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right.
That was a tough one. She got it.
She got it. 38,000, so 6,000 higher than the national average for student loan debt. Not surprising that, you know, Connecticut having, you know, the emphasis on education that we do, that would be a little bit higher. 38,000 as an average doesn't sound like a lot of money, but when you're getting out with a degree and not making potentially more than 38,000, it can take a long time after living expenses to pay that off. Glad to hear that Jane's son-in-law is, in fact, almost done with his student loan debt. Way to go, Jane's son-in-law. Son-in-law for now. We'll see. She could end that contract, as you said. All right. We come back. Maybe we'll give away a little bit more of Martin's money. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the real estate market is impacted by this student loan debt problem and what the good news is for all the homeowners right now, regardless of the problem. All that when we come back to wrap this show up. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. You know what, Pat? We're going to make this real easy. Unfortunately, we've got some bad news and some good news. Unfortunately, Connecticut is in the top 10 of average student loan debt. It's in the top 10 of all 50 states, okay? If you can answer where in the top 10 Connecticut sits, 860-464-9490, we're going to get you a gift card. We're going to give away one more gift card to one of our great local Connecticut restaurants to help support them, courtesy of Service Station Equipment. So 860-464-9490. Where in the top 10 does Connecticut's student loan debt sit nationally? Okay, so they are in the top 10. Where in the top 10? All right, those numbers would be 1 through 10, just in case you were wondering. We've got some good news, though, Pat. Barstool Sports Fund, which we've talked about in the past, they've given away a whole bunch of money to restaurants and local shops and small businesses that need it now more than ever. We've obviously on this show always encouraged everyone to go out and support these restaurants. If you can buy a gift card, if you can go to the giftcardproject.com, for example, and donate to these local Connecticut restaurants. But Barstool, they've done way more than anybody could have ever imagined. And they helped one of our great local restaurants that we all know and love right in Mystic, Connecticut.
One of my all-time favorite places. It's just a home run.
We've got a guess on Facebook. Marvin guessed the number 7 that Connecticut sits in the top 10. It is not number 7, so that'll help out the callers. 860-464-9490. Number 7 is off the board. It is not number 7. They are in the top 10. All right, so Pat, what restaurant and why is this your all-time favorite or one of your all-time favorites?
So it is the Mystic Institution that is DPI, or the Daniel Packer Inn, which is just one of the greatest. Like, the downstairs bar is just
the best.
I can't think of anything that is more quintessential shoreline New England than walking into the basement of that little tiny inn with the fireplace going. You sit at the bar, you grab a delicious adult beverage or 10, and you're just, everything is, especially in the winter when the fireplace is rocking, it's just, that place is where it's at. It's just such a great local spot.
That's not a, everybody loves that. I mean, that little basement lounge bar area used to be packed, and it's certainly not conducive to social distancing. So I can imagine DPI, Daniel Packard and Mystic, absolutely needed the help from Barstool. So what did Barstool donate to DPI to keep them going?
I did not see the number because I haven't watched the video. I've only just read the story.
Okay, but so they did get some money to keep operating.
They and did.
Nice thing about the Barstool Fund is they don't just give you like, it's not like the PPP where they just drip like a little bit of money on your head and then run away from you.
Yeah.
They continue to serve you through the rest of the pandemic to make sure that you actually make it. How much money has Barstool Fund raised to this point?
They were, as of 5 minutes ago, $37,366,000.
And then how many small businesses is that?
329. It's insane.
329 small businesses. One of them happens to be one of our local favorites, Daniel Packard. And so happy to hear that. And happy to hear that Daniel Packard is going nowhere. So the DPI lives on in Mystic. We've got Teresa from Nyanic. Teresa, what is your guess on where Connecticut's average student loan debt sits? We are in the top 10, so number 7 has been chosen on Facebook. That was an incorrect answer. What is your answer?
I'm going to say maybe 4th.
Ooh, it's not 4th. We've got Linda from Mystic, but she's already coming back behind you, but she's already got a gift card today. So we're going to give you another guess, Teresa.
Really?
Another
okay,
guess.
How
think,
about,
we're
how
running
about
out of time, six? So think. No. Well, hold on. I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
It's higher than 4.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's tough. You have 3 choices.
I'm going to say 2nd.
Sadly, no.
Right. Teresa,
thank
Teresa,
you.
Stay on the line. We're going to get you up.
All right. Yep.
All right. Linda from Mystic. What do you got, Linda?
8.
Oh.
Linda didn't hear the hints. All right.
Sadly, no.
It's not 8, Linda, but you've got a gift card, right, today?
I did.
All right, good.
Okay.
So 7824 off the board.
Yes, 7824 off the board. Thanks again for calling back, though, Linda.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
7824, all off the board. We gave a really big hint there that it's lower than 4 and 2's off the board, so that would make Connecticut sitting in the one spot or the three spot. So you actually have a 50-50 chance if you call in 860-464-9490. Calling quick as we're up against the break here, or the end of the show, rather. 860-464-9490.
A week-long break. That's what it is.
Is Connecticut sitting at the number one or the number three spot for the most average student loan debt in the entire country? And listen, again, I said at the beginning of the show, I encourage you, if you have a student or a child who's thinking about becoming a college student, thinking about taking out upwards of $38,000 in debt to get a very general degree in general studies or a business administrative degree, I urge and encourage you to talk them out of it. To talk them out, I'm a big believer in education. Talk them into going and getting a job, bartering with somebody like myself who would pay for anybody's college, community college in their first 2 years so that they come out of their first 2 years absolutely with no debt. With a barter, obviously. I want something in return for that. I want some work, right? Some internship work. Would 100% pay for that. And you know what? There's also what we're doing at One in Company. We're also giving back to the community for people thinking about getting into the career of real estate, which right now could not be a better time to do it. There is more interest than there's ever been in real estate. And if you'd like an opportunity, whether you are young, old, switching careers, you had, you know, maybe you were a bartender and your job has ended, or you were a teacher and you're just sick of the bureaucracy. Whatever your case may be, if you've been thinking about real estate and you want to get into it, go over to realestateagentscholarship.com. That is realestateagentscholarship.com. And we will pay for your licensing. All you got to do is apply for our scholarship. It's our way to give back here to the local community in Connecticut. It is Connecticut specific. Go over to realestateagentscholarship.com and we will pay for your license. Apply there, realestateagentscholarship.com.
No debt for that.
There will be no debt for that as well. That's right. Well, there will be a debt. You will find
the debt of services.
The
services.
Terms and conditions are if you can make the team, you will have to join the team, which is, by the way, Pat, we're recruiting like crazy. We are adding to this great team, which had the most sales of all 4,800 William Ravis agents in the Northeast and in South Florida, number one in the entire company, number one in the counties in which we serve here in Connecticut. And we are adding to that growing team every single day. We've got two calls. Let's go rapid fire before we end the show. Call our name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Heidi from Groton.
Heidi from Groton. We've got a gift card to Olio's with your name on it. If you can answer correctly where Connecticut sits in the top 10 of the average student loan debt.
I'm going to guess number three.
Oh, my goodness. So we're down to one answer. Sorry, Heidi. You did not get it correct. We've got one more caller. If they've been paying attention, this will be easy for them. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Zombie Mom.
Zombie Mom is back. Way to end the show, Zombie.
We only have a minute and a half with you. God, why did you wait so long to call us?
Zombie Mom, what's your answer?
My apologies. My apologies.
What is your answer, Zombie Mom?
Number one.
You have got it right, and you are number one in our hearts, Zombie
Mom. Oh, God bless you both. I love you guys.
Stay on the line. You got it right. Connecticut has the number one, the most, the top of the list, which is a bad list to be on top of.
Not surprised.
The most average student loan debt is Connecticut, sitting at $38,000. All right, Zombie Mom, stay in line. We've got
you. Hey, you guys.
Up.
Take care. Have a great day.
Thank
you. Glad we were able to give away a bunch of Martin's money. Maybe Martin's pocket is not happy, but we are happy so that we can help support all of our great local restaurants. Today we were help and support Olio's over in Groton. Pat Kenny, if people want to get in touch with you this week and talk about some of the finances and plan their financial journey, maybe they even need to plan ahead to get out of debt, where can they reach you?
Fire over to the website, Barnum, like Barnum and Bailey Circus, plans, plans.com. Hit the contact button and set up some time. Happy to help or try.
Barnum Plans. If you want a absolutely paid for free real estate license, go over to realestateagentscholarship.com and apply. And if you have a home to sell, I'm telling you right now, I believe we're at the tip of the iceberg in Connecticut. Text or call me right away, 860-941-2755. And we'll put the plan together for you to capitalize on what's happening right now, which is multiple offers over asking price, 860-941-2755. If you want to join the number one team in all of Connecticut, that's realestateagentscholarship.com, or you can send me a text. Connecticut, America, have a great weekend. We love you guys. Chris, great show. 94 Niners, thank you. Service Station Equipment, thank you. PK and Barnum Plans, thank you. We're out. See you next weekend, Saturday, live at 11.